A good neighbour is a gift from God, surely. But when your neighbours are bad, you'd be far better off in the deepest dungeon of the strongest jail with never a man or a beast to greet you. In the county of Cork one time, near Kanturk, there were three farmers living close together, inside in the one yard, in fact, and their names were Hudden and Duddon and Donal O'Leary. Now, Hudden and Duddon, they were bad-minded suckadons, but Donal O'Leary was as nice a man, as obliging and honest as you would get in a day's travel. But Hudden and Duddon, they were always plotting and planning how they might get Donal O'Leary's land. Like greedy people everywhere, you see, they thought they wouldn't have enough if they hadn't someone else's property along with their own. And this day, they made a plan, and the plan was that they'd kill Donal O'Leary's horse. Now, in them days, if a farmer hadn't a horse, he might as well have nothing, because horses were used for ploughing and for harrowing and for carrying and going to the creamery and anything else like that, to be like having no car nowadays. Well, they made their plan, and that night they put it into action, because they came to the little stable, a little lean-to onto Donal's house, where the horse used to be at night, went in, killed the horse, and when Donal came out in the morning, there was the poor animal with its four hooves cocked up in the air. Well, now, Donal was a practical man, and he wasn't one to be mourning for nothing, and he looked at the horse and he says, wouldn't it be an awful pity to waste the horse and not to use that fine hide? Because he had the horse well fed before that, and it was a shiny skin the animal had. He got his knife and he skinned the horse. And when he had that done, he headed for the town to sell the hide. And, of course, as he was walking along the road, all the birds of the air were watching him, and when they saw the bloody side of the hide sticking out, and they thought it was their dinner arriving, and down they came in clouds, and were picking and picking and picking at the meat, and there was one big black bird among the rest, and strange sounds it was making, like all the world was talking, and Donal O'Leary says to himself, isn't that strange? And when the bird was perched above on his shoulder eating, Donal put out his hand, cut the bird by the legs, and in under the hide with it. He went to town then, and tried all the merchants, and at last he sold the hide for 2 shillings, better than nothing. But there was a thirst on him then, and before taking his road home, he went in, and he said he'd have a small little drop to see him on his way. Called to the woman behind the bar, and says, give me a small one, ma'am. She went to the barrel that was there for strangers. She had 2 barrels, one good and one not so good. And she gave him out a drink that wasn't the best, but she took his money. And Donal tasted it. One taste was enough to tell him, ah, pure suluk. And faith high, he says, I'm not having this. He caught the bird by the leg under the table and gave a squeeze. Like that went the bird. And the woman behind the bar said, what's wrong with that animal? I'll tell you what's wrong then, says Donal. That's my friend, and he tells me when somebody is playing dirty tricks on me, and he's after telling me that you give me the drink that isn't the good stuff, and I'd like something right now. And he clapped it down on the counter, and she was so busy looking at the blackbird that she went and filled him the right one and didn't even take any more money for it. Well, she was amazed, and she says, tell me, stranger, would you sell that creature? He'd be mighty handy here for me to warn me when the police are coming and such things like that. I will not, said Donal. Are you talking about selling my friend? What do you mean? I'll give you a lot of money for him, says she. How much money? Take off your hat there, says she, and I'll fill it up with silver. Well, Donal did take off his hat, and she brought it back to him. And now Donal had a very big head, and when he felt the weight of the silver inside in the hat, good God, he says to himself, who'd be keeping a friend when you could have that much silver? Here, says he, take it, and I'll be going. He went home with his hat full of silver, and when he walked in the gate, who was there waiting for him, leaning up against the gateposts, ready to sneer and leer at him, only Hudden and Duddon. But when they saw him coming with the big hat full of silver, their eyes were out on stalks, and they says to him, Hi, where did you get all the money? Oh, lads, when ye killed my horse, ye did me the best favour in the world. I went into town, and I sold the horse's hide for that much silver. Look at it, says he. And they did look at it. And the next thing they did was to go home and kill their own horses, skin them, and in they went running into town, tried the merchants, and sure, when they got only 2 shillings each for the hides, they knew they were tricked, and they says, well, damn the unlaw Larry, but we'll make him suffer. And they made their plan that night they'd call to his house and rob him and do worse things maybe if he got in their way. So, do you think Donal didn't know the way their minds used to work? Donal was living in the house with his old mother, and she used to sleep above in the room, and he'd sleep under the kitchen window. And that night he says to her, Mother, Mother, 'tis a fierce close night tonight. You'll be stifled above in the old room. Change places with me. Come down here in the kitchen to be lovely and cool, and I'll go up into your bed. Of course, she was all anxious to please her son, like every Irish mother, and she agreed immediately. And they swapped places. That night, late, the window opened up, and one leg came in, and another leg came in, until Hudden and Dudden were gathered around the bed that they thought Donal O'Leary was in. And they fell at him, as they thought, and, of course, 'twas the old lady they killed. Stretched her neck and left her looking like a giraffe. Well, they started rooting under the bed then, looking for the silver, but at that minute, Donal gave some stir above in his sleep, a grunt or something, and they thought they were discovered, and out the window with them, but no silver. Oh, and they were raging. But when Donal woke up in the morning and came down and saw his mother, and he called her, Mother, get up, says, and he realised that she was dead. Oh, he fell down on his knees. Oh, Mother, 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 what happened, Mother and Mother? Well, I don't know, was it the breakfast or his mother that he was sorrier after, but I, practical man, as I said, took her up on his back, and she was a big stout woman, not easy to lift by any means, but he took her up on his back, and off he went towards town with her. Well, the two lads watched him going, and they're laughing. Where's he taking the mother now, I wonder, says Hudden to Dudden. Donal O'Leary walked, and 'twas a fairly warm morning, and by the time he was halfway to town, whew, he was wore out, and the sweat was rolling down from his face. And he passed this pub on one side of the road, and across the way was a well. He went over to the well, threw his mother off his back, put her down on her knees in front of the well, with one of her arms on one side of the wall and the other one on the other side, propped her there as if she was going for a drink. In he went to the pub, called for a drink, and there was a servant girl outside mopping up the tables outside the bar. And when the woman inside the bar handed him the drink, the servant girl looked out and she says, who's the old woman over at the well? That's only my mother, says Donal. She's getting a drink. Here. I say, call her in, says the woman behind the bar. Don't have her drinking water. Let her drink something stronger than that. It's a fierce hot day. And she's all right, says Donal. Not at all, says the woman. Hey, Mary, to the servant, go over there and call her. And that's what Mary did. But do you think there was any reply? How could there be? And she went over and she shook the old woman by the shoulder to tell her come in. But if she did, down went the old woman straight, head first into the well, face and eyes. And, of course, the young girl couldn't pull her out because she was so heavy. And she called, come out, you'll get drowned. And she ran into the pub, called Donal, who pretended to be all action. What are you talking about? My mother inside in the well. And he ran across the road, pulled his mother out by the legs and turned her over. And he looked at her. Oh, Lord. Oh, my mother, she's dead. She's dead, surely. She's dead. And he started queening and ologoning. And, of course, the people gathered around when they heard the noise. And they said, oh, Lord God, what's after happening? The police will come and we'll all be took in for questioning. Oh, Lord, they says to him, I, shh, shh, shh. We'll do something for you. What can he do on my mother dead, says Donald. And he kept a face on him that was as good as if she really was dead there and then at that time. Well, one of the people said, look, we'll send around a purse. They did that and filled it up with gold. And when Donal got the gold into his hand, the morning kind of left him and he says, all right, says he, I suppose it's the second best thing, but what can we do? Here, will you bury her for me? We will, stranger, we will, in a nice quiet place. And they did. And Donal went home with his purse of gold. And when he went in the gate, who was waiting for him? Only Hudden and Dudden, as before, ready to sneer. But when they saw the purse of gold, their mouths dropped open, and they said, where did you get it? Oh, says he, They're looking for all women inside in town for mattresses, to make mattresses out of them. And I sold my mother and I got a good price. He did me a favour. And he walked into his own house, and the two idiots, Hudden and Dudden, home they went, killed their mothers immediately, opened their backs and took them into town, walked up and down the streets, hooled by all women for mattresses, hooled by all women for mattresses. Now the people came out in their doors and they were looking at these two lunatics. And God knows the young boys in the street, they started picking up horse dung and stones and firing it at the two of them, and they had to abandon ship and head for home, out of town entirely. And 'twas then it dawned on them that they were fooled yet again. And this time they says, "We won't be caught." A third time, went home, buried their mothers, and that very day they went to Don Lolleri's house, and he was inside having his dinner when they went in, and they said, "You villain, but this time we'll settle you." Dudden had a big bag under his oxter, and himself and Hudden, they stuffed Don Lolleri into the bag, tied the top of it, took it on their shoulders and said, "Now 'tis the river for you," and walked out of his house towards the river. And they were only about halfway there when who or what do you think they should see? Only a rabbit coming their way across the fields, and the rabbit had only three legs. And they looked at him and they said, "Good God, a rabbit with three legs? Aye, you'd make fine stew out of him, and he'll be easy to catch. Leave the bag there, Hudden," says Dudden, "and we'll go, and we'll be back. Sure, he'll be quite safe. He's going no place." The rabbit hopped in the road in front of them, into the next field, and off they went after him, like two idiots. Well, Don Lolleri was there inside in the bag, and he's singing for all the world. You'd wonder why, in the position he was in, but he knew something. Someone surely would come the road and be curious, and someone did. A cattle drover with six fine black Kerry cattle, heading for some fair, no doubt, and a look of weariness and the dust on his shoulders. Well, the drover stopped, of course, when he heard this singing, and he gave a poke to the sack with his cheek. "Who's there? Who's there in the name of God?" says he. "What are you singing about inside in the sack, whoever you are?" "Oh, I'm on my way today to heaven," started the song again. "Stop, stop," says the drover. "Are you in earnest? Are you really going to heaven?" "Indeed I am," says Donal, "and I'm waiting a long time for this sack. And now that I have it, faith, I'll hold on to it." "Hold on a minute," says the drover. "I'm sick and tired of walking the roads of Ireland in all weathers, day and night, and I'd like to go to heaven too. Is there room for two inside in the sack?" "No," says Donal. "One man, one sack. You know the rule. I can't do anything for you." "Oh, in the name of Christian charity," says the drover, "let me in." "Well, I don't know," says Donal. "I told you there's only room for one. But tell me, what'll you give me if I do? I mightn't get another sack the like of this." "Oh, all I have to offer you," says the drover, "is a number of good Kerry cattle. Will you take them?" "Let me out of the sack till I see," says Donal. And the drover ripped the top of the sack. Out came Donal, looked around him. "Oh, God knows," he said, "they're in bad cattle. All right, we'll make a deal. Go into the sack there and I'll tie it." Which is what the drover did. Donal tied it, drove home his cattle, but sure he was hardly around the first turn in the road when who do you think came back across the fields except Hudden and Dudden, and they're having the rabbit by the ears. Oh, full of triumph and happy with themselves. Well, they came to the bag, where it was where they left it, and they picked it up on their shoulders, took it onto the river and came to the deepest pool in the river and dumped it in, and down, down it went, and up came the bubbles. Well, they came home, a good day's work done, and when they arrived in the yard, who was waiting there for them, looking out at them, smiling? Only Don Lolleri and six Kerry cattle. And they stopped at the gate, ready to run. "Are you a ghost or are you real?" they said. "Oh, ho, ho, I'm real enough," says he. "Aye, you did me a good favour today, because when I came out of the bag below at the bottom of the river and I looked around me, the place was black with cattle and I could only catch six of them. But I'm telling you this, I'm going back there now to get more of them." "And we'll come with you, we'll come with you," said the two lads. "I don't need any help," says he, "but we'll come with you anyway." And they did, whether Donal liked it or not. He led him to the deepest part of the river, and he picked up a stone, threw it in and says, that's the place I found them. And now," says he, standing back, "I'll have a run at it and I'll jump in. I'll tell you how things go." Wait a minute," says Hudden, "keep out of my way. I'll be in before you." He took one flying jump, splash, into the water, and down he went because he couldn't swim. And of course, a minute later, he came up waving his hands and gurgling and shouting. Says Durden, what's he saying, Donald? What's he saying? Oh, he's calling for help, says Donald. He can't manage all the cattle on his own. I'm going to help him. You will not, says Durden. I keep out of my way. And with that, he pushed Donald aside, took one flying leap into the water, and down he went like the fool before him. And they got tangled up on each other, Hudden and Durden, and, of course, got drowned. And Donald O'Leary there watching him. He says here, well, well, in the world full of fools too. Turned his back, walked home, and from that day on, 'twasn't one farm he had at all, but three.